We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
We are going to review the underwear Olympics known as the Combine, plus the Saints met with Jaden Daniels of LSU. Are they up to something spectacular? Thomas, hit that intro.
Welcome to the award-winning Saints Happy Hour podcast. Seriously, this podcast has won awards? American standards are dropping every day. The show features Realm, the best host in the world, who can barely pronounce his own name, much less anyone else's.
Marquez Callaway.
Dave is that dude who loves taking bathroom breaks. He's mad about almost anything, so make sure to lower your volume when he speaks.
Put that freaking clown meme back up that I made.
Jesus Christ.
Andrew has sources, watches tapes, and knows football. He rarely shows up on time and wants to commit crimes to help the Saints win.
Sean Payton would have done illegal things. Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know it's true.
Oh, and there's also Kevin, who is great at doing mock drafts, but struggles to actually watch Saints games or have a functioning relationship.
Butterich wants to know how the doctor's doing.
That ended.
Anyway, grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the insanity.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. I'm Ralph Marlborough. I'm joined by the gang, Dave, Andrew, Kevin. Everybody's here. Also, everybody, hello to everybody watching on the Twitch live stream right now. I see Jerry, I see Octoberist, I see your boy Alan, I see Andrew's dad. Thanks to everybody for joining us as always.
At you, John.
On tonight's show, we are going to review the Combine, get into fashion, talk Saints defensive needs, plus your questions and all sorts of fun. But before we start, remember to subscribe to Saints Happy Hour wherever you get your podcast. And I also have to mention the MVP contest. If we reach $100 in donations tonight, the MVP will choose which mini bar bottle from my gigantic mini bar bottle booze collection, which is dwindling, by the way. It's getting to be having more normal, not disgusting drinks in it. We need to replenish it. So people, if you see horrible things, you send it. I'll drink it as always. The MVP wins, they get to pick which drink I'll poison myself with. Consider donating via Stream Elements by typing in !donate in the chat and click the link that appears. Twitch takes about 50%.
Oh, Matt Ryan.
Happy Absinthe Day.
Andre Judge, 28-3, interrupting Ralph's intro.
Wow. Thank you, Andrew. Twitch takes about 50% of the cut when you donate using bits. If you want to spend less money, it's easier to get me drunk that way. It's a win-win. Even Andrew can do it. And Andrew just used the greatest $20 you can spend anywhere on Dolly Parton's internet. Text-to-speech. You type in anything, $20. British robot guy interrupts the show and says whatever you typed in the box. Thomas, I guess Andrew's the MVP leader to kick us off.
Yes, sir. Andrew's MVP leader with 28-3. Also, thanks to Hoodat Gopher for subscribing for 23 straight months. And we are on a 30-week donation goal streak. Last week, Hatchet John won with 78.3. Buckaroos, damn.
Oh, and by the way,
don't shoot your dick off.
Yeah, that's right. Hatchet John, he won last week, so he got to write the saying on the board, don't shoot your dick off. It's right there. Max did
and
a great
t-shirt
job.
And the t-shirt that's behind you, Rolf.
That's right. That's the that's what you win. That's from Vince in Maine. That's the autographed Deuce McAllister jersey. The things that I'm going to poison myself with, Thomas, if we hit 100 bucks, this is Benjamin proof pineapple. I don't know what it is, but it's 100 proof. It looks disgusting. And Dan sent me a box of really nice. He's a great patron. He's been a patron since like the beginning, since the Podbean days. But I don't know that Dan understood the fun of it. He sent me like a pack of like some Crown nice. Royal Apple and Southern Comfort. So like, you know, those are what's it? Southern Comfort is.
Yeah.
No, but it's flavored. So this is like giving Ralph like
it's like a water. Treat for me. It's like a dessert. It's fine. It's like a dessert wine.
I think it's you'll shoot your dick off, not don't shoot your dick. I don't think this is a Christmas story.
No, that's what he said.
No, I think the cop says you'll shoot your dick off.
You think so?
We'll shoot your dick off.
Shoot your dick off.
Yeah. But we say don't
you're
shoot.
Gonna. He actually says you're gonna.
Yeah. 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 So I'm drinking tonight. I'm drinking Hard Hide. I had the last of it. John, amazing sponsor. He'll be back in the football season. I'm drinking Hard Hide strawberry whiskey and Coke. And I never had done that before, but it's amazing. It's like
it looks like you're drinking it out of a NFL wine glass.
It is. It's a Saints.
A stemless NFL wine glass.
That's what I drink. Sent me this.
Oh, it's cool. It's a Saints. Matt Ryan.
Wow, y'all are flying out the gates early tonight.
Paying for washed Kirk Cousins. Suckers.
Jason Champagne, 20-3. I think he uses for the first time. Damn.
That's right. Jason. Thank you, Jason.
He got excited about the Falcons getting Kirk Cousins. He couldn't resist.
The Cousins jokes, they write themselves.
I'm drinking a little rye whiskey tonight, a little bourbon. From Whistle Pig.
That's
this is the farm stock rye. It is
classic.
Very delicious. And it's lower proof, so it's very drinkable. Just put it on ice. You don't need anything. You don't need to mix it with anything. And it's super drinkable, so I'm enjoying that.
Dave, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking, what is this? This is, Heavy Hands. This is Spindle Tap Heavy Hands IPA. I didn't eat dinner tonight, so I couldn't possibly. This could go south very quickly.
Well, I want to say I don't know why that oldie but goodie hat you're wearing, that Saints Happy Hour podcast hat. I don't know why that didn't take over the world. It's an amazing looking hat. I need.
It's a great question. Yeah, it does look good.
I have
a bunch of these
patches. And
you know, I will say I spent a lot of money on this bottle, Whistle Pig. It's really good. However, Sazerac.
Yes. Sazerac, you need rye whiskey for a Sazerac.
It's a lot cheaper, and the Sazerac rye in New Orleans, it's like $20 retail. It's cheap, and honestly, I think it's probably close to as good as this.
Wow.
So I'll plug them, too.
Yeah. Kevin, are you drinking anything tonight, or are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got the uncle again.
The uncle.
The old uncle furthest.
Yeah.
Yes. speaking of Sazerac, though, Juge, what furthest. Else... What else? What are the key ingredients? What are the ingredients? Not even the key ingredients.
You know, it's a good question. It's a
good Sazerac.
So I know you need rye. I mean, rye is critical.
You need the rye.
You need good rye. Sometimes you get you get bitters. You need crushed sugar, right?
Yeah.
Like cane sugar.
Mm.
And there's another ingredient that I'm blanking
on. Well, you're thinking of the lemon peel? The lemon peel?
No, not that. There's another thing that you pour in.
And you coat the glass. You coat the glass with it.
Yes.
Right.
I think it's typically green in color.
Absinthe. Absinthe. That's what it is.
Absinthe. Day. I don't have any absinthe to drink. I should have. Y'all just want me to butcher. Y'all just want me to say it and say it incorrectly. That's all that is.
Happy Absinthe Day, everybody.
Thank you. Not for my liver, though.
Today is actually National Absinthe Day. March 5th.
I think that's just like the three people, the three bottlers that make Absinthe. They're like, it's National Absinthe Day. Says who? Says us. So let's get into the Saints news. The Saints, they marched towards cap compliance by redoing Cam Jordan's contract. They cut Marcus May. That's a bit surprising, guys. Andrew, I want to start with you. Is safety suddenly a possibility at pick 45?
Matt Ryan.
Let's start the show off right. Gonna let Dave pick what Ralph drinks, as I'm sure he has his best interests at heart.
Damn, Hadja John!
Hadja John. Wow!
Oh, boy. Wow.
A near record.
A near record.
Not as close
we're,
as
we're
me.
We're coming out of the gate strong.
I mean,
it's
going
to be hard to beat you, Kevin, you know.
Yeah. And I want to say,
thanks, Hatcha John, for 50 buckaroos becoming
thank
the
you,
new Hatcha leader.
I want to say that somebody on Twitter was yelling at me and said, you don't act like a responsible media person. And I forget who it was, but it was a patron. And they're like, yes, yes, the responsible media guy who takes money to drink. it made me happy. So what are we doing? Are we doing the pineapple 100 proof, or are we doing Southern Comfort?
So you really, so you don't, so you've been drinking Wormwood drinks for the last 3 months, and finally on Absinthe Day you don't
We're
have
out.
Anything with Wormwood in it.
I don't I
Holy
was
crap.
Bad.
And I have
bad.
A bottle of and I've got a bottle of Malort in my.
Do I need to text my buddy James? You guys remember James? He actually has a bottle of absinthe at his house.
Yeah.
Do I need him to bring it over here?
Malort. Porn Prince Harry having that at his house is not a surprise.
Yeah.
So what is it going to be, Dave? You get to pick. Is it pineapple or is it Southern Comfort?
That's
no. Hatcha John gets the pick.
Hatcha, yeah. All right. But I thought Hatcha John
lame.
Said Dave.
They're both lame. Oh, he said I choose?
Yeah.
He did. I'll say not the Southern Comfort.
The pineapple.
Yeah, what the hell?
Pineapple, I'm worried about it because...
Just shut up and drink it.
it's 100 proof.
Good.
Oh.
And we got $100, so...
Yeah, oh.
I don't think this is going to be very good.
Ooh.
Sally, I need why, help.
Why does it sound like you snorted a rail?
Yeah, it does. I think Ralph's bad hand is actually functioning better after that.
It's not. That tasted like kind of like it ended like, you know how the Malort like just like ends.
Le Malort.
Like,
I remember at the live show.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yes. It sneaks up on you.
Mm. This too. Like, yeah. Like
bad
it won't, like it, bad, it's like a friend that doesn't want to leave. It has a bad aftertaste. The drink that I'm drinking doesn't push it out. This Benjamin's pineapple. Oh, Thomas, it's a 9. Oh,
cool.
Jesus.
Disgusting.
Wow.
Oh. But thank you, Hatcha John. He's well on the way to be like, we'll have like a Hatcha John category and that for everyone else. You're the best, Hatcha John. And thanks to everybody who supports the show. You make it happen. We appreciate you. Back to Saints news before I get up.
Let me answer your question. So let's rewind back to that. You had asked me about safety and Marcus May getting cut. And you asked me, is it possible that they would draft a guy? And, you know, I think you have to be careful. It's an interesting position where if you get an elite guy, obviously that's exciting. But I have always felt like safety is one of those positions where, like, if you have an awful one, it's really bad. But you don't need an elite one, you know, like Tyrann Mathieu. I know he's in the twilight of his career to some extent, but I think it's good to get younger at that position. Like, right. You don't want Honey Badger and Marcus May. I think they're both kind of getting long in the tooth, and they drafted Howden last year. I really liked what Abram showed late in the year. And I know he's a free agent, but that's a guy that I would hope they bring back. You know, Ugo Amadi, he had some positional flexibility. Yeah. He could go to nickel. So they've got some guys, and you know, some of these guys are free agents, so they'll have to re-sign them. But I absolutely think you can get a safety in the second or third round that becomes a long-term starter. They did it with Marcus Williams. They did it with Roman Harper. So you don't have to pick a safety in the first round. So, like, I don't think they need to go nuts here. Like, do you, if the board falls to you or you get a guy that it's like, hey, this is good value, to me, it's not a position that you're like, we must draft here.
Dave, I'm just
what's Jarris Bird doing? I mean,
okay, easy.
What's going on with him?
I was going to ask Dave, is Dennis Allen, is he getting so cocky and arrogant that he can turn anyone to, he got Isaac Yiddum to play good in the secondary. Has his ego run amok and he's just like, I can cut Marcus May and I can pull a hobo off the street and it'll be fine at safety.
I don't know whether, you know, ego isn't the word I would ever conflate with Dennis Allen. That's one thing I'll give him. He's never really come off as the cocky, brash Sean Payton type. But and to your point, to Andrew's point, Ugo Amadi, Isaac Yiddum, these aren't really household names. And they contributed and they did pretty well. And so to answer your question, I think that Dennis Allen can kind of make chicken salad out of chicken shit sometimes. But, you know.
But, I mean, they like Jordan Howden, right? Like, he's the one they drafted him last year.
I don't know if they're going to draft a safety that high. I don't think they would draft a safety with the first or the second pick. Now, well, and you asked.
Howden was what? Howden was
fifth or sixth round pick.
Yeah, so I mean, I wouldn't hate, you know, a fourth round pick to compete. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he asked. But Ralph's original question was, he was asking you if you would pick him with what, the 40-something pick?
45. I mean, they got.
Why not the first round pick?
Abram, I think, was a first round pick. I think Ugo Amadi might have been too. I think they both were, or maybe Amadi was second round. But they got both of those guys on minimum veteran deals.
Yeah, so
the point here is you can get safeties that have tremendous talent for pennies on the dollar. Yeah. It's kind of like a run-stuffing nose tackle. I just like it, – it's funny. Like, the more we're talking about this, I'm like, why did they spend so much on Jarris Bird? Like, you should never spend that much on a safety.
Well, it's a great point. You made the safety market, in fact, got flooded today. The LSU guy, what's his name? He from the Jets.
Jamal Adams.
Seattle cut both their safeties today. Both of them.
Yes, Thomas. He does mean the Seahawks.
So, and your dad brought up an oldie but goodie, Andrew. Remember Vinny Sinceri?
Kenny Vaccaro. Very nice guy. He signed my son's football at the Greenbrier. I think that was his career highlight in the NFL.
So the combine was,
I think he coaches now.
He does. The combine was this week, and just a side note, if you've been listening to me and Kevin do our mock drafts that we had done, Kevin, our boy Theo Johnson, he had a 10 RAS. I don't think we'll be getting him in like the third or fourth round with the Saints. Like, he's gonna
actually the picks where he's been going is in the fifth round. So he's going to jump at least 30 spots into the high fourth round. He could very well be a low third round pick.
Yeah. So, Thomas, in case people forgot how stupid the combine is, play this video of Mike Mayock lusting after Andres Pete's booty. From way back in the day, Budrich sent us this. Thomas, play that video. I want people to remember how stupid the combine is.
He flashes. Look at the lower body. Just huge. He's got dancing feet with that lower body. It's unbelievable. Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. Thighs. I mean, that's
the combine in a nutshell. They're Mike Mayock is just.
I don't know. I think he kind of nailed that though. I mean, I actually think that's a terrible example because.
Well, he never said he was good.
I don't know. Like that's why the Saints drafted Pete first overall, and that's why he made multiple Pro Bowls. Like ass and mass, baby.
Badonkadonk.
I mean, he does have a nice looking ass. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
I don't know about nice. It's just big and round.
It's a nice round ass.
Depends on your preference, Dave.
Let me ask you this. If Pete wasn't so injury prone, I'm going to make a statement. I'm not even going to ask a question.
Uh-oh.
If Pete wasn't so injury prone, I believe we would be talking about him like he was LeCharles Bentley.
Maybe. I mean, he's been good. He's bailed the Saints out. They needed a left tackle this year. He delivered. He was not an abomination.
Yeah.
So Dave left. So I'm going to ask you this, Kevin. LSU's Brian Thomas, he ran a blazing 40 and he had a 9.97 RAS. So now we have the two things in conflict. Kevin, could he be a Saint, or does Mickey Loomis resist all LSU players, even the ones that have a near perfect RAS?
I mean, you were going to ask
me the LSU question. Like that's what you.
Yeah, I was.
I knew you were going to ask me the LSU question. I got the hell out of there.
Because you hate LSU. That's why I was going to ask.
F them Tigers.
But it's a great question. In the chat people can ask too. Can Mickey Loomis, Saints hate LSU players, but can he resist an LSU player that has a near perfect RAS?
Look, I was just trying to talk. I was trying to, you know, dream up scenarios in which he would grab, you know, either like Mekhi Wingo or Jordan Jefferson for the interior. And now you're trying to talk us into saying, oh, he's going to grab Brian Thomas. But it's like Brian Thomas is not going to be there in the second round for sure. And it's like the Saints need. Jesus, I don't know what that is.
That's my son.
Butteridge says hard pass on Brian Thomas. Tell us why in the chat, Butteridge. Why?
Like the only way you would get Brian Thomas is if you traded down and had more picks to be able to take more options with more chances at tackle and edge.
This is where
tackle and edge are still the needs.
Yeah, tackle. Well, I was hoping that if Al Davis was alive, Brian Thomas would have been a Raider. And the thing is,
Davis was still alive, Brian Thomas would be a top 10 pick.
If I will say this, if you go to Vegas and you see if it's on the board in Vegas, how many times Ralph will call Brian Thomas Michael Thomas if the Saints draft him? if you can get those odds at any value, make that bet because it.
His name is Eric.
It'll be infinite the times I will call Brian Thomas Michael Thomas if he's a Saint. The other thing about the combine that was interesting, Andrew, to me, the Saints met with Jaden Daniels, and I know he's probably not getting a 14, and the Saints probably aren't trading up.
I don't know why they did that.
But he's from LSU, and he won a Heisman, and I want to believe. So my question to you, Andrew, and then I'm going to Kevin. Are you thinking the Saints are cooking up something spectacular that could give me and Kevin an aneurysm?
Kevin, close your ears, man.
No, I don't. I think they're just doing their homework. They're interviewing with a player that...
This highlights a nice...
But, look...
What's the homework? What homework are they doing?
Honestly, if it wasn't Dennis Allen at head coach, who is clearly completely committed to Derek Carr, I mean, this is absolutely feels like Sean. Like, this is where I miss Sean Payton. I feel like every offseason, like, you never knew what he was going to do.
Right. But
I mean, he literally just cut Russell Wilson and took the greatest cap hit in NFL history. Who knows what Sean Payton does? So, like, trading Jimmy Graham, signing Jairus Byrd, whatever. Like, I felt like anything could happen with Sean Payton. It was always insane. He was never afraid to swing big and make big changes. I feel like this is the Saints doing their due diligence.
Why?
At one point, like, you never know who falls, right? Ryan Ramczyk dropped to them at 32. They never saw that coming. They were prepared to draft him when it did. I'm thinking about Aaron Rodgers, who at one point was a top five pick, pretty much guaranteed top 10 minimum. And then what did he drop to? 26?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I guess
if Jaden Daniels is available at 14, drops to 14.
He probably murdered
He
probably murdered someone if he dropped.
I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. If there was a path, if there was a path to give up 3 first-round picks to get Jaden Daniels, I would do it. I would move up to 2, and I would pick Jaden Daniels. Head,
if you aren't watching on the video and you're just listening to the audio, Kevin's head just opened up a mushroom cloud like it was Oppenheimer. Come out. Is that not how you say it?
No, that is not, in fact, how you say it.
Oppenheimer.
I mean, anyway.
Use it in a sentence.
Did you know that Oppenheimer's favorite meal is Chipotle? No,
Wait, I just got this. It makes zero sense to me that the Saints are interviewing Jaden Daniels and wasting one of their in-person talks. Like, they're not going to draft him. You know, like you said, Ralph. You know, and like you said, Andrew, if this was Sean Payton, you never know. Maybe there's a chance, but it's not Sean Payton. It's D.A. And we know what we get from vanilla Mr. Rogers D.A. And that's going to be another offensive lineman at number 14. OK,
What if, Dave? What if Jaden Daniels is number one on their board and they're like, he's number one on our board? OK, if he gets to 6.
Yeah,
we're moving heaven and earth, and I don't care that Derek Carr is committed for 2 more years. Like, he's number one on our board.
So there's that, and there's also, you have no idea who's going to become a free agent in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, or who's going to be available in a trade.
You think that they're really thinking that far down the line?
I can't speak for Dennis Allen because I think he's a joke. But
wow, clip but, that one, Thomas.
But I mean, in my years of doing this on this podcast and the people I've talked to, what I have been told, and look, I'm just an asshole, right? But when you look at all these interviews that happen, what I've been told is a lot of times they're interested in interviewing guys because there's a couple things. It's like, number one, this might be a guy they play twice a year, and so they want to get an interview with them. They don't mind burning an interview to get a window of insight into how they think, and because you might have to prepare to play that guy twice a year. But also, they might become it goes into a Rolodex of information, even if you don't draft the guy, where maybe this guy becomes available in 3 or 4 years. And we might be interested in bringing him in depending on the cost and the needs that we have. And so Passanio was a great example. I remember someone in the front office with the Saints was telling me this, like, we had a super high grade on Passanio. We love that guy. We almost drafted him. And when he became available, we were like, yeah, he kind of failed in his first destination, but his measurements, his interview was really good. We still think he fits really well in our building and he has high upside. So let's invest the minimum contract in that guy. And say what you will about Passanio, but he's been on the team for a while now. So for a minimum deal, he's kind of worked out as a pretty good pickup. And so I think sometimes you do due diligence on guys because you never know when, you might not get him this time, but you might get him in a few years kind of thing.
No, okay, let me jump in.
That
here
makes
real
sense,
quick.
But I just feel like if he's gonna if they're looking at him because what if he drops out of the top 5? What if he's available at 14? Or what if we can get him at 10 or whatever? That doesn't make sense. I don't know. I just feel like if he's good enough to get at 9 or 8, then you want a new quarterback to begin with, and you're not happy with your current quarterback.
I think Daniels and Caleb Williams both are good enough to give up anything to go get.
So I went ahead and started a new mock, and you said out of the top 5. So I went to pick 6. That's the Giants. You can trade. You can get the sixth overall pick for 14 and 45.
See, I think you got to add the
sixth overall pick, and then you aren't doing jack shit until pick 149.
Unless you trade Lattimore.
I think the computer, though, Kevin, with the mock draft, I don't think they fact like.
I think you have to pay more
because of quarterback inflation.
I don't think
quarterback inflation. I think
quarterback inflation is a thing for sure.
Yeah, I think it would be. I think it would be more. But like
Drake May, I like, but Drake May to me is not on the level of Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Just my personal opinion.
Yeah. So, listen. I just renewed my season tickets for the Saints. They called me about 10 times.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm gonna wait till the last minute. I'm gonna make them sweat it out.
I'm with Dave.
They called me. I want to
make them nervous. I want them to start freaking out. Maybe saying, "Oh no, all these people aren't renewing their season tickets. We got to do something. Maybe we should get rid of Derek Carr.
We'll give you a $2 food coupon.
or DA." DA, you're fired.
If you renew your season tickets, Dave, you can light the fuse of the cannon where we fire DA into the river.
I like to make him sweat it out.
No, but they had.
Did you guys see Matt Rea's comments about? This was super interesting. He's the Saints' strength and conditioning coach, and they asked him about the combine, and they were like, do you value this information? And he was like, not really. And this was super interesting. And, you know, this is the guy they got from Alabama. Mm-hmm. And he's highly decorated, very high, well thought of. And his point was, if you look at the data that we have these days with being able to watch game tape and how fast the guy's running and how strong he is and like all these crazy measurements that we can get these days from analytics.
Yeah.
The value of that is so much stronger than anything we can get from the combine, because here's the thing. The combine is all about agents training these guys. Like, here's who you need to work out with. Here's what you need to eat. Here's what you need to do to perform the best at the combine to get the measurements that you want to get drafted. And Matt Rea's comment was, I would much rather these guys, instead of training for something that isn't going to apply to football, like they're training for something that helps them get drafted based on measurements. This isn't applicable to game day. So he's like, I would much rather these guys rest their bodies, concentrate on recovery, and get over the fact that they just played a college football season and recover, measure the things they did during the season, and then draft them based on the information we have from that. So I found that really interesting, because he was basically saying, like, I don't know that I throw away the information, but like they're specifically training to get high scores on something that's not necessarily like high scores for football season.
Yeah. Counterpoint is Chris Jones. He ran the shuttle drill and his dong fell out, and he's borderline Hall of Fame. You can't get that in a regular game.
All right. So
that data in a regular game.
But you guys know what I'm saying? Like, no, I'm like fully bought into his statement. Just there.
I mean, no, Andrew, you're right. Look, let's face it. I mean, the combine started back in a time when you know
we had a lot less information, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, not agents, scouts. You know, they couldn't watch every single game of every single player. Everything's on film now. Like, right, unless you were going to those games, unless you were the scout and you were going to those games and watching that player in person, you know, so that's why they had the combine, so that all these scouts could go and see these guys do workouts all at once. But now and today, where you have the film and every game is taped and you could just watch these guys film, one, you can see everybody. Two, I feel like film tape is going to be more indicative of what a player is going to give you over time, over the long haul in a real game situation, than, like you said, what he's just going to do in a few specific drills that he's been practicing for specifically for those 2 months. I totally agree with that guy. The combine now is totally pointless.
Kevin, wasn't
other than dongs flying out.
Here's the thing. Totally, like, pointless. The NFL is never going to change it, because now it's a spectacle.
Oh, it's
now
content.
It's a thing where it's, they collect money.
Well, it's also content for the NFL channel.
Right. Well, you have all the people that work around the NFL, the execs, the scouts, all that kind of stuff. Like, this is
you
a thing,
Kevin?
Them where they, where they go to they go to Indianapolis. You know, they eat at St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
Don't call,
they get the shrimp. They get the shrimp cocktail. That's just what they do every March. And Kevin, it seems like you have to say something here. Yes.
Yes.
And I had a question for Kevin too.
So
you're not. You need to be more aggressive, Kevin.
So while y'all were going on, I made a trade in a mock draft where I got to the seventh round pick. And right now, the Saints are sitting at seven. They've got Brock Bowers available. They got Cooper DeGene. They got Nate Wiggins. They got Felice Flotter. They got OU and Rationale available. And they got Jaden Daniels available.
Come on, Kevin.
Yeah.
Keep it again.
Hit it again, Thomas.
Shut up, Kevin. You've been interrupted again.
Matt Ryan.
Saints happy cast, making Mallort great again.
Thanks, Jason Champagne, 28-3, becoming the new MVP leader, by the way.
Thank you, Jason Champagne.
So I was telling you, if you trade up, now you're looking at situations where it's like, oh my God. You've traded up limit and now you have more limited resources. I mean, I made it work because, you know,
I'm with you. Like, if the Saints, and not to make this a draft discussion because we have all March and April to do that. But if the Saints, if they trade up, I'm occupying airline. Like, I'm just like, they can't. Like, they cannot. They cannot do
it. Except if it's a quarterback, bro. Except if it's a quarterback.
Only Jaden Daniels. I trading up for Drake May or McCarthy or Caleb Williams. No. Only Jaden Daniels. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
I want to tell people, remember, if you can use your Amazon Prime membership to support Saints Happy Hour, and it doesn't cost you a dime, click the link in the podcast description with instructions from Thomas. Do it. It's amazing. Great support show. And remember, the 400 patron challenge is still in effect. We get to 400 patrons. Whenever we reach $100 donation, instead of drinking one shot, I'll drink two. We get to 400 patrons. And I will do that every week that we are at 400 patrons. That's my guarantee to you. That's my commitment to you. I don't care about my liver. I care more about y'all's happiness. Thomas, do we have a donation update?
Like I said, Jason Champagne is in the lead with 56.6. Second place, Hatchet John and Andrew, 20.3. In the third place, we are around 40.
I thought you said Hatchet John was at 50.
50, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So I'm in third place.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So, and by the way, listener from Maine, Vince, donated the Deuce McAllister jersey. It's signed. We're going to raffle that thing off. The weekly MVP gets their shot at having a Saint signed jersey from a Saints legend. It's right there. We're not making it up. It's amazing. Be the MVP and get it. All right. So we have a brand new, possibly one-time segment on Saints Happy Hour. Who wore it better?
Yearly segment.
Dave? Dennis Allen is trying to steal your middle-aged jewel thief look. Thomas, put DA at the combine and Dave from last week side by side. And I want to know who wore it better. People in the chat, feel free to chime in. This is why we have a producer for content like this.
Oh, we have Eminem there.
Look at this. And Eminem, did both of you steal it from Eminem?
First of all, my hat doesn't have the logo on the bottom right there, so I'm.
You're kind of like you're like the cheapo, El Cheapo of the.
Yeah, mom, we've got Eminem at home. It's me, Eminem.
Yeah, Dave only runs what size square foot shop do you run, Dave?
Well, it might only be 1,000. I don't know. I need to go.
I also feel like DA is going short on the facial hair here.
Oh, it's a deception! Yeah. Matt Ryan!
I will say,
make Ralph hang on. Drink again.
Ralph,
thanks for 20 booze.
Didn't get us there. We need a little bit more, Hoodat Golfer.
We're close.
It's the Marvel multiverse.
I will say, first of all, I wore it before DA wore it.
You did. True.
But we are all copying off of Eminem, I think. And, we all do have that steely-eyed, I think I'm
and
tough.
By the way, Kevin, can I just say this? I think Kevin may agree with me more than you two guys. Listen, the Saints, you aren't good enough to do your combine interviews in a stairwell. Get your freaking ass to the podium like everybody else and do an interview. You can't, when you go 7-10 and 9-8, you can't do your interview, DA, from the bowels of a stairwell in Lucas Oil Stadium. You're not good enough. Get to the podium like everybody else. I know no one cares, but I care, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't care about that at all.
No. Yeah, me neither. I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's the dumbest rage.
It makes it harder for Thomas to cut sound.
Who gives
because
a fuck?
DA doesn't go to the podium like everyone else.
You expect DA to like step up and be a good soldier here? I mean, give me a fucking break.
Deception!
Wow.
Here is to Ralph D. Inking again.
Oh, wow.
Damn, Archmage, 28-3, and with that being said.
There we go.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
Southern Comfort is one of those things where I got really irresponsibly drunk on it at an LSU game, and it brings bad memories to me.
I hope those memories come to the forefront.
I like something. It smells good,
as
though.
You swallow it.
It's like, it's
that's what she said.
Okay. I love how Ralph always does the like desk punch, you know?
He's going to need a new desk, man.
I have made my judgment.
I had not had Southern Comfort in a while, Dave. You are right. It is not good. I remember. I had fonder memories of it. Damn, maybe
more than five.
It was like it's like a seven. It's not good. Seven. Like Southern Comfort.
That's weak. Seven's weak.
It's weak, but I don't know. I remembered it being like sweet and tender. Like my first girlfriend, but it was kind of, it was kind of harsh and disgusting.
Okay, cool.
Thanks everybody for donating. Could you imagine if we were at 400 patrons, I would have just done four shots.
I actually can't imagine that, to be honest with you.
It's not like he hasn't done it before.
Think of the fun we could have, Dave. I could just pass out and you could be the host. You could be like, I'm the captain now, and just take over.
I'm driving this ship, bitches.
Doing the rundown.
Do it.
You need to become a Saints Happy Hour patron. It's best Saints podcast and community in the world. You get every podcast without no commercials, early access to special episodes, and patron-only perks. You get to talk to my dad on Discord, and you get cool swag box delivered to your house. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. That's the best commercial ever.
So my final answer is I think I'm not just saying this because you're here, Dave. I think you wore it better. Dennis Allen looks like a middle-aged man who's about to do bad Eminem karaoke. And Eminem just looks like Eminem. So I say you wore it the best.
Well, I got to admit, actually, I don't really have much of a leg to stand on because I have come on this podcast and worn Dennis Allen's old clothing.
That's right.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Wait, you did what, Dave?
You didn't know this, Kevin? Yeah. You did not know this. This is news to you?
Yeah. Kevin wasn't on the podcast a bunch during the season.
Wow.
Dave knows a guy who has all the Saints old
equipment manager,
and he sent Dave a bag of Dennis Allen's old hoodies.
Sweaty, used up
hoodies.
Dave has Saints swag that has been worn by DA.
Wow.
Correct. I have four different four different things.
Dave, by the way, are you having the worst year of your life now that you've worn the DA stuff? Is it loserdom? Does it transfer over to you? Are you having a bad year?
I've had some kind of rash for a while. that won't go away.
I rest my case.
It's like a little, it's got like bumps on it. I don't know. Anyway, what I'll say about my outfit is, I'm big into like the athleisure. I think actually that night everything I was wearing was Task. I'm a big fan of Task apparel, local New Orleans company.
Viori is better.
Started by, Al Andrews, Tulane alum.
Aldi Marie wants to know, are the DA shirts worn in the nips area?
I fill them out quite nicely. When they say you've got big shoes to fill?
He's got big nips to fill.
And I think I do a pretty decent job. My middle-aged nipples are fairly erect and pointy on a regular basis.
You haven't been hitting the bench press enough, I take it.
No, I have not. But my hat in that photo, actually, I can't say enough great things about this hat. This hat is from, it's a brand called Melin. It's a fairly popular brand, Melin. You can see underneath there, that's not the sticker that I forgot to take off. I'm not that cool. That's like a little rubber thing. But these hats, these Melin hats, this is the A Game Hydro. They've got a couple of different versions, but this is a $69 hat. But the hat is waterproof. It floats. And more importantly, which I think is amazing, and I don't know how they do it.
Okay, you can stop reading the script, man. Come on.
It is sweatproof. I have worn this hat to play golf multiple times.
So when another one of the New Orleans pumps fails and the streets flood and you have to go pick up the trash at the curb, your wife will be like, "Oh, there's Dave right there. The hat's floating."
You need a waterproof hat. If you're living in New Orleans.
No, I just saved his life with the bad category 5 hurricane.
You need a flotation device on your head. Anyway, I can't recommend Melon hats enough.
Kevin, who looks higher in the photo? Dave, Eminem, or DA?
Photo was taken Dave, for clearly. Me while I'm blinking.
Dave. The answer is Dave. Final answer.
Yeah, but
the
answer is always Dave. Drugs. DA looks like he's on painkillers. I look like I'm high. And Eminem looks like he's just pissed. I don't know. He's mad. He's mad at something.
Is it possible that DA was never fingered in the Viking gate and he was actually one of the biggest culprits?
It's possible. Anything's possible.
It would explain a lot.
DA looks so sad.
No, I can't believe we talked this long about this.
Yeah. My dreams of an hour and 15-minute show just go by the wayside.
Am I supposed to be a great host.
We are. So, Thomas, we got to finish up the prediction reviews. We got like two more of those to do.
Yes, we do. Why did we leave just two?
I have a feeling they're going to be the worst of all.
We've got four predictions of four of you guys.
All right, let's go.
Dave wanders off to go take a poop.
Let's do Dave first.
He's wandered off.
Fuck him. Do it.
Yeah, let's do Dave first. The MVP, the disappointment of the season, and the Saints record prediction from Dave.
He kind of nailed Lou Headley, honestly.
MVP, Dave predicted Derek Carr. Disappointment
was pretty good.
And the record was 11-6 for the audio listeners.
That's bad. Bad.
He's two games off. It's not that bad.
That's not bad.
We got out of 17. Like
I said, 11-6. I could have swore I'd back that off. I actually
would say I would give Dave like a B minus here.
Yeah,
he gets a C plus.
I'm giving myself an F. Yeah. I'm giving myself an F for saying Derek Carr MVP. I thought I backed my prediction up though. I thought Dave was like
9-8. I know, Thomas, let's get to mine. Mine was off. I think I got really drunk on prediction night, and it went off the rails.
We got to make sure when we talk about this that we speak to
the
people that don't see this graphic.
Yeah. So my MVP was Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
He had a pick six.
Pretty bad.
I don't know.
No, no, Ralph.
He was not the MVP, Ralph. Jesus.
He had one good play, so he should be the MVP.
Not even fucking close.
Jesus.
Disappointment, Jimmy Graham. That was bad.
I mean, yeah. Hey, Jimmy Graham had a good season.
Jimmy Graham had a fun, good season.
It was a disappointment how little they used him. That's what it was.
12 and 5. Yeah. That's true. I was right.
Ralphie, this is way worse than
12 and 5. Yeah, Dave. That was bad.
Yeah, it's worse way worse than Dave.
Whew. It was bad. Bad predictions all around.
You get a C minus for this.
I wouldn't. I would. That's a generous. Oh, that's grade. D+. I'll take it, Professor.
D plus. Yeah.
D plus.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, right, keep it moving, Thomas.
What do you got,
Kevin? Next, it is. Let's look at Kevin's predictions.
All right. So, Kevin's for the audio only people.
He Lattimore MVP.
That's
MVP.
Terrible. Disappointment.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Kamara,
He was almost bang on the record. He had 10-7. He was one game off.
Yeah. I thought I said 10.
And honestly, Kamara was pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
So he had the disappointment as Kamara. Lattimore is MVP. I mean, I would also call Lattimore a disappointment. So I give Kevin a C.
Kevin, what would you give yourself? You grade yourself.
B minus.
Maybe C plus.
I don't know. I think a B minus. Maybe B plus.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad.
It's not bad. Strongest one yet. What did Andrew do, Thomas?
Andre Juge, final prediction. MVP, Derek Carr. Disappointment, what? Jimmy. And record, same as Kevin, 10-7.
That's, I don't know. Probably a B minus.
I mean, that's another C plus, yeah.
I mean, you can make a case for Derek Carr.
Ralph is definitely the worst.
Well, toxic positivity strikes again.
Toxic, yeah.
I mean, I'm only one off on the games. I feel like that's.
Yeah. Where is where's Thomas's predictions?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get mine predictions. You didn't ask.
guess what? We're starting next season. You can't just sit here in your ivory tower and make fun of us while Well, you don't know.
So you want to make fun of me? Okay.
People, the patrons and listeners to the podcast have a thirst for knowledge about Thomas's personal life that is growing uncomfortable. They have a lust for it. My DMs, the questions, like people really like it. It's uncomfortable.
I'm still not convinced he's not an AI bot.
Well, I don't know. You know what they say, though? Never meet your heroes. Like, I'm a little worried if
we might. That's right.
Everything might just come crumbling down after we beat him.
When we fly him in for the live show.
His real name is Doug, and he lives in Sheboygan.
That's true. That's true, man.
He's going to come to the live show. His name's going to be Doug. He's going to be wearing an REO Speedwagon
shirt. Andy Mourinho said he has a feeling I would change my prediction so I would win them.
Yeah, I know.
Revealing my secrets, Ali Mourinho.
I don't know what Thomas's predictions would win, but whatever we do, it would piss off Dave.
No, that was it.
That was it. All right.
Okay, that was it. So now, Thomas, hit take it to the top so we can do this.
Wait, hold on. Before you do that, who was the actual... thank you, Hudad Juge, my dad, for asking this. Who was the actual MVP of the Saints? Like, if we're not going to say Carr was the MVP, who was?
I don't know. For chopping the wood, man.
Can't be DeMario Davis.
DeMario? No. I was about to say DeMario. Why do you say it can't be?
Granderson?
Olave?
I think Carr might be the MVP. It might piss people off, but like...
Really?
What?
You think Carr was the Saints MVP this year?
I mean, they won four of their last five, and he was a big reason why they did that.
Jimmy was the MVP.
I don't know. I'd probably go with Olave. Honestly.
Jimmy was the MVP.
That would be my pick.
MVP of my heart was Jimmy.
Who would you pick? Who would you pick?
Jameis was the MVP for the you know what?
That's the final answer. Yes,
Jameis. Team
decision. Team MVP was team decision.
One play was all it took, guys.
Taysom threw a touchdown.
Oh,
he ran for over just over 400 yards and four touchdowns.
You're picking Taysom as a team MVP?
But it's like all the numbers are just low. Like
he ran for the touchdown pass.
All right, I'm going Olave. Kevin's going Taysom.
Ralph is going Carr. I'll stick with Taysom.
Yeah.
Ralph is going Carr. Dave is in the bathroom. All right, let's keep moving.
Yeah. So, Thomas, hit take at the top so I can give the people finger guns that are watching on the live stream.
I said Olave already. I agreed with you.
All right, remember, kids, the mailbag questions, even if we don't get to it on the live stream, we will use it in our mailbag. Maybe me and Kevin will answer it in the Friday show. We'll get all the content, all the questions you send them. We love it. We love all your questions. Keep sending them. We'll get to them, I promise. Thomas, what's first up?
All right, first question, since the Pelicans won. From Dan Checo, he asks, you can only have one. Pels win the NBA title or Saints to another NFC championship, but you don't know the outcome, and Vinovich is the ref.
Pelicans.
Yeah, I gotta go Pelicans.
Give me the NBA title.
The thing is with the Pelicans, you get a parade.
Yep.
And the thing is with the NBA playoffs, that means you get Pelicans all the way almost to July, right? That's when NBA playoffs end. So you get a long ass season. And it might get a new arena for the Pelicans. They win the championship. People get excited. They build a new arena. The Saints, Vinovich as the referee in the NFC championship, I don't know if I could mentally handle that, Andrew.
They would never put Vinovich in an NFC championship game with the Saints
That's a great question, Dave. I wonder, has Vinovich ever even refereed a Saints game since
then? I don't know.
Not that I recall.
Because the thing is, the head referee, the head official for the Tuck game, he never officiated a Raiders game ever again.
I would think that that's going to be the situation for us. And my answer to this question also would be the Pels. My son's a huge basketball fan. He's more into the Pels than he is the Saints.
Wow.
So it would be good for him to have that.
Strike one.
Andrew,
he went to all the Saints games with me too.
My son is way into Everton than he is. He hates the Falcons more than he likes the Saints. So I did an okay job as a parent.
There's hope for him yet.
Yeah. So what's next, Thomas?
Okay, next question. And by the way, for the MVP race, a quick donation update. Jason Champagne in the lead, 56.
Thank you, Jason.
Cruz, and just right behind him, Hatchet Jones with 50. So pretty easy to overtake Jason.
But Thomas, quick note to everybody. I sent out the knife to Hatchet John. He got the knife for winning the That's MVP. I sent out a bunch of booze bundles. If you got them, thank you for being a patron. If you don't, DM me. We'll make sure you get your stuff. The Houston Post Office is back to functioning semi-competently. But we want to make sure everybody that's a patron gets their swag. But Thomas, what's next?
All right. Next from Aldi Marino. This is an interesting question. How far is Michael Thomas from Antonio Brown level of cheese falling off the cracker?
I'm not familiar with that term.
No, listen.
I think it makes sense hypothetically, though, right?
No, because Kevin, explain it to him.
Until Michael Thomas whips his dick out a pool in Saudi Arabia, no contest.
Yeah,
that was
you realize we're like a week away from that happening.
No.
And until it happens, Antonio has the lead, has the pole position.
Remember
figuratively
that,
and literally.
Remember those 2 days when Antonio Brown was in New Orleans and we were super excited that the Saints might sign him and play him in a playoff game?
Yes.
Yeah. And remember how excited we were that they might sign Derek Watson or Deshaun Watson?
Ugh.
Kevin, that never happened.
I want to say the Saints not signing Deshaun Watson. It needs to be a me and Kevin drunk history because Kevin.
You mean David Watson?
David Watson. Because Kevin, if they would have signed Watson, that would have been an extinction level event for the franchise. Like, I am not kidding. They wouldn't be good until like 2030. If they had Deshaun Watson on this roster, this podcast would be insufferable and difficult.
That would be cap hell. That would be hell.
Yes. Thomas
going off on Twitter again?
No, not yet.
Oh, no.
He's born to be a Bronco.
He will definitely be a Bronco.
Michael Thomas.
Mike Thomas. No. And I agree. He's definitely has not reached the same level of crazy as Antonio Brown.
I mean, that's next level crazy.
And I forgot about that. Hall of Fame level crazy. How did he get out of there alive?
Yeah, like, dude, like, it's one thing.
Remember when we were in Thailand for spitting or whatever?
It wasn't Saudi Arabia, it was Dubai. I want to make sure I clear that up.
Who was the guy? Remember when we were a kid in the 90s and he
threw the gum on the ground and they caned him?
I thought it was graffiti.
Yeah.
Michael Fay.
No. Yeah.
Michael Fay. Great memory.
Michael Fay. Yeah, they caned him. Can you imagine somebody getting caned in the age of Twitter, Dave? Wow.
His name was Michael Fay.
Yeah, hang on. I got it. So he was arrested.
Somehow
for stealing...
I had that in my brain after.
Wow.
He was arrested for stealing road signs and vandalizing 18 cars over a 10-day period in September of 1993.
You know what? Kind of a douchebag move. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean,
he deserved the punishment he got.
I mean, like, once you get caned, like, are you free to leave? Like, is that?
I think George Bush, and I can't remember if it was the original or W, but they negotiated to get him home.
It had to be original.
After he got his ass whipped.
So here's the funny thing. The number of cane strokes in Faye's sentence was ultimately reduced from 6 to 4 after United States officials requested leniency.
Okay, yeah. But then you're free to go.
I feel like this is a Ted Gregory.
I would maybe do that.
I feel like we should bring back caning. Like, I think if people got caned, we'd have a better society.
It might be more of a deterrent.
You know?
And I would maybe take a caning instead of like a year in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the Clinton administration, not the Bush administration. I tell you what, though, on the plus side, though.
Boy, you can't give him 6, give him 4.
On the plus side, we did get that very nice SNL sketch with Emilio Estevez and Kevin Nealon. So,
wow.
Yes, you know.
All right. Next question, please, Thomas.
Next question, Thomas.
That's right. We went from Michael Thomas to Michael Fay.
All right. Next question, also from Aldi Mourinho. Oh, sorry, not the graphic.
How many bits do we have to donate to Kane Ralph, your boy Alan wants?
That's a good question. Ralph?
How many bits is $500?
You're selling yourself short, Ralph. Jesus.
Every $500, I'll take one caning.
50K.
Oh, God.
But Selly has to do it.
No.
And if we get to, if we get to 400 subscribers, it'll be
paid. Hey, Selly, I need assistance.
I think you'd prefer a caning from someone else.
I want the Patriots to get value.
No. The caning has to take place after the Astros lose.
Yeah, I want the patrons to get value, Andrew.
Oh man,
what's next?
Ask away.
So, Aldi Mourinho says, "So you're saying this is on the table? This is exactly
it's on the table.
Cane and table.
What's next, terrible. Thomas? Make a graphic, Thomas. Caning.
All right. Next, speaking of Aldi Mourinho, he asks if we base a religion on one, the four of you, whose gospel are we spreading and who's getting the heretic burning at the stake?
That's a great question.
If we base a religion on one of the four of us, whose gospel are we spreading, and who's getting the heretic burning at the stake? I feel like if it's Ralph, Ralph's going to get the people burning him at the stake very quickly when they're like, "You said we were going to go 13-4, and we only 100%. Went 9-8. What the hell? Why did we listen to you?"
And I'm crippled. They'd be like, "You're crippled. That's the demon seed. We're going to burn you at the stake to cleanse you."
You kept saying his name was David Carr, but it's Derek Carr. Why did we not question you? Why did we keep following you, Lord Jesus?
But if we had a gospel of one of us that would be spread far and wide, who would it be?
The real answer is all four of us would be killed in hilarious ways, like the apostles of the New Testament. Like, probably one of us would get fed to the lions. One of us would get burned at the stake. One of us would get,
they'd hang Juge upside down.
Yeah.
Rancor. Bougie ass.
Yeah. I would say they would throw Dave in the ocean, but his floating hat would save him.
That's right.
You know, Jesus walked on water. Dave survived in the Sea of Galilee thanks to his floating hat.
Dave is a false prophet.
Maybe Jesus just had melon hats back then before everybody else had them.
Aldi Mourinho has a good question. Would my toxic positivity save me or would it doom me?
No, it would doom you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I literally just said.
That's right. All right, Thomas, what's next?
All right, final question of the show. Belongs to Manadula.
Manadula,
let me get buckled in. Hold on.
I'll be back to drinking your foul, disgusting Netherlands, whatever the hell you mailed me. I'll get back to that next week. I still got four or five of those left. Not including the drop shot. Manadula's got other things that look just horrible. I'll get back to mixing those in. Those are my last really horrible booze collection, Manadula. I'll mix those in next week.
Then Hacha John asks, what do we need to donate to get the cat to drink?
The cat's diabetic, John. It might kill the cat. We can't have the cat drinking.
So again, Hacha John asks, what do we need to donate to get the cat to drink?
And throw
whatever
it
the hospital bill ends up being.
The cat is this close to getting cured off the diabetes.
That is not true at all. That is not
true. It is true, Dave.
I had a diabetic cat, and once they're diabetic, they're always diabetic.
She was doing 4 units a day. Now she's down to like a 1 unit a day. She's almost cured off the diabetes.
Freedom.
Right there. He's going to tell the people.
Exactly. This is exactly right. As somebody else who has experience with a diabetic cat, I really want the best for you and your family, Ralph. But I think the second you like take your cat back off, you're back to like 3 units. You're living like this. This is your reality. I won't say new reality because I know you've been living like this for a while. In addition to all that, like our cat used to throw up like 4 times a day. No, the cat isn't on Ozempic. The cat's on fucking on what the same thing that regular diabetics take, insulin.
What are we?
My cat used to like throw up like 4 or 5 times a day. Like it would just always throw up like for no reason. Special diet. We gave it all kinds of medicine. And like after years, we finally put her down. Like she was, I think it was miserable. Like she was diabetic and she couldn't hold food down and she threw up all the time. And it was like, and she
this
started
cat,
peeing all
Dave,
over the place.
This cat was near death. And now she's like back to full health, jumping over gates, just 14 years old, like as spry and athletic as she ever was. Don't kill my dream. Thomas, what's the last question?
You know, whatever the last question was, I feel like you're really pivoted. And let's move on.
The cat's 14 years old. You're going to be, I'm not saying your cat may live to be a long time. What I'm saying is I think you're going to be giving your cat injections for the rest of its life.
I hate you, Dave.
I'm sorry. I just really do. I really do. And you know what? I don't know what. I don't know what date you want to set this at, Thomas. But check the timestamp on this. Maybe 2 years from now, 3 years from now.
Toxic negativity, Dave. I like that.
Well, you know what? It's kind of, we are kind of a yin and yang.
I'm going to have a giant fat this head is of happening. Minxie above Lube the board.
Yes, right. What's the last question, Thomas?
Where are you?
All right, next. Last question from Manadula. How many Thomas Mostert push-ups can you do with your youngest child on your back? I guess Kevin can skip that question.
What's a Thomas Mostert push-up?
With the kid on your back.
Yeah.
I think that's a regular push-up. It's just how many with your child.
All right. Well, he didn't invent that. A lot of people do that.
I could do one. My kid is like, he's eight, but he only weighs like 40 pounds. So I could definitely do one.
I think the question for me is which child? My 10-year-old or my 14-year-old?
Youngest.
Youngest? Yeah. I think I could do 10. I could do 10 with my daughter. With Cullen on my back.
Isn't your body falling apart though, Juge? Like,
yeah.
See?
But if my daughter was on my back, I could do 10 easy. If my son was on my back, oh man, two at best. Two at best.
Kevin,
he's 14.
Your son is 14? That's crazy.
Kevin, if we kidnapped a child, if I gave you my child, Max, who weighs like 42 and a half pounds, how many push-ups could you do?
It really depends on how I'm doing them, because my wrists are shot. Like, I can't brace on the floor and hold myself. It becomes borderline untenable.
You have wrist injuries?
That sounds like me, Kevin. That's not a good place to be.
I have wrist problems in both wrists. So when I do push-ups,
From lifting?
From lifting, from just life, from just having like weak wrists.
My wrists are smaller than yours.
I have to do push-ups either holding dumbbells on the floor, or I have to do them at different angles in order to get it to where I'm actually doing them correctly and like feeling them where I need to.
Did this happen?
Don't
weep
for
wrestling?
My wrists, man.
Did wrestling
fine.
Fuck up your wrists?
No. My wrists were messed up before that. My wrists were messed up when I was wrestling in high school.
Mm. Oh, so right around puberty was like right when your wrists started to hurt.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Weird. Coincidentally.
Interesting. Interesting.
Both of them. Too.
What else
both
were you doing during that time period? Come with on. Your wrists?
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah.
Skinamax ruined Kevin's wrists.
I don't know. I think I'm gonna have to call Andrew and have a discussion about raising. Preteen sons.
People in the chat are talking about.
I've got some stories for you, Dave.
People in the chat.
Just hide certain things.
Yeah.
Just hide certain things, like just like hide the Lubriderm.
Come hard.
Make sure that the Vaseline is in a secured location.
My wife and my son have been watching Never Have I Ever. I don't know if you're familiar with that show.
No.
They've been watching that lately, and it has introduced my son to a lot of questionable things that happen in prepubescent life. So
suck on this, bitch.
My kid's eight. I dread puberty more than anything in the world. And I'm crazy.
I mean, honestly,
a lot of parents
say that. I maintain. Look, I don't know what life looks like from 14 to 18, but for kids. But I coach a lot of kids that are in that age range and they're fine. And I will tell you that I maintain that 0 to 2 and 2 to 4, those are very different things as a parent, but they are way worse than anything 4+. I have yet to experience something above 4 that is worse than below 4.
Oh, agreed.
Oh, really?
Agreed.
No, not even fucking close.
Agreed.
All these parents that tell you, like, all these parents that tell you, oh, wait, just wait till they're teenagers. Like, is that worse than changing a diaper every day and getting shit all over your hands? Is that really, is that worse?
Yes, because, like, this is, like, emotional stuff.
Is it really worse than a 2-year-old?
You don't have answers.
I'm just enjoying my kid. I feel like 6 to 10 is the sweet spot of fun.
The answer is no.
Nah, I disagree. I gotta
we got to have parents.
What are you telling me is the worst, Dave? What do you think is the worst?
Right now.
What age?
Right now. Well, I haven't gone through the whole thing, just like you haven't gone through the whole thing, and you've gone further than I have. But right now, I'm saying a preteen. I'm going to say
preteen. Are we talking about Dylan? Are we talking about Dylan?
Yeah. Yeah, and teen's not looking so good either. And just because, like with diapers and that kind of stuff, like, it's there's only so much that can go wrong, and there's an easy solution to it, and it's like you clean it all up. But now you're talking about emotions and a lot of other things and questions, and like you don't necessarily have the answers. And
I guess we have different philosophies here, but that shit is way easier to me than shit all over my hands.
Yeah,
I guess that's where we're different.
Kevin,
you're bougie. I'm surprised you ever even changed the diaper, you bougie son of a bitch.
Kevin, people.
Oh, I got my hands dirty.
People in the chat.
The help didn't help out.
People in the chat want a short Kevin Love update. Do you have a Kevin Love update for us before we get out of here?
The Love update is I'm going to try and go on a date this Thursday. I'll see if this lady.
Is she in the medical field?
She is in the medical field.
Yeah, of course she is.
She's someone that I have seen previously, and I think what I'm gonna do is
talk to this lady
and be like, listen, I want to give this another shot and see how this goes.
Another shot. What about a discount, man? How about a discount?
There will be no discounts.
Worth every penny.
Thank you for the update, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I love this podcast.
Go ahead and play the violin.
Other podcasts are talking about cone drills. We're talking about Kevin's love life to wrap it up. we're never changing.
That's fucking illegal.
We're never changing. It's amazing.
Thomas, before
we get out of here, give us a final MVP tally.
Damn, amazing show, guys. We reached 2 donation goals. We are on a 31-week streak. We updated. Not yet the applause. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different donators with at least 25 buckaroos. Thanks to Hudat Gopher, to Akmich, to Andre Juge, to Hatchet John, and to the MVP for the first time this draft season, who is... the one and only Jason Champagne! Congratulations!
And thank you, Jason.
Oh, hey now.
And by the way, everybody, I want to remind everybody that if you aren't a patron, become a patron. But we have the Discord. The Discord is rocking. And by the way, free agency starts unofficially Monday at 11 o'clock. I know our Discord is going to be out of control then. If you are a patron and you haven't gotten in the Discord, get in. If you aren't a patron, become a patron and you can get into the Discord. We're having fun. It's way more fun than Twitter or X, you know? So thanks to everybody for listening and supporting Saints Happy Hour. Please go to saintshappyhour.com, become a patron and support the show. We can't do this without you guys' support. Thanks to Dave, Andrew, Kevin, Thomas, the best producer on earth, running the show back in Poland. Hey, how about that, Andrew? This one is like an hour and 15 minutes. How about that? Remember, kids, if you're going to support a Saints podcast, you ought to support the one that wins awards. Until next time, the bar is closed.